Well, hey, everybody, welcome to church. Happy Easter. Yeah, so glad you've joined us today. And let me look into the camera, say a big hello to our Hokesson location and our Middletown location and all of you joining us online and right here in Newark. Will you help me show some love to all of our locations today? Love you guys very much. And if you are here for the very first time in any of the rooms that we're gathered in, we're very glad you're here. Hope you're having a great experience so far. And also want to take just a moment and show some love to our J team, hundreds of you that are serving all weekend long and making a difference, being the hands and feet of Jesus. I've never been more proud of you. So one more time, I know you've been clapping a lot, but show some love to the J team, everybody. Has been a great, great Easter weekend so far. We're gathered to celebrate that Jesus is alive, he's real, and he's working in the lives of people. And as we jump into the message today, I want to start with a little poll, as I often do. So at all of our locations, by a show of hands, how many of us have felt tired recently at all? Just a little bit tired, just if you have the strength, just if you raise your hand. And I get it. I've had some long days lately, kind of realizing that, you know, the longer I do life, the more I realize it's not good to stay tired for too long. And when I was preparing for this weekend, I don't know why I thought of this, but I remember when I was 17, I pulled an all-nighter with some friends one time, stayed up most of the next day, ended up in a grocery store parking lot with one of my equally sleep-deprived friends, and we would put shopping carts in front of his Honda Civic and then drive as fast as we could, as straight as we could, keeping the cart in front of his car, and veer off at the last moment so it would crash into the grocery store. And we thought this was the most brilliant idea any human being had ever had. We're like, we've invented a new Olympic sport. I mean, we're so genius, and we're laughing so hard. We just did this over and over again. It's the silliest thing. When I look back at it now, you know what I think? That was so dumb. So dumb. There's no other way to describe it. And here's what I know. We do dumb stuff when we're tired. Am I right? I don't care how smart we ordinarily are. You get any of us tired enough, we're going to do some dumb stuff. And the other thing I know is whatever we believe about God, spiritual things, church, any of that, we all get tired at times. Not just tired physically in our bodies, that may be where it shows up, but we get tired in our minds, in our brains. We get tired in our relationships. We get tired in our routines. We get tired in this place inside of us we can't even quite put our finger on. It's like our souls get tired. And the question this weekend is, where can we go to find rest? Not just a break, not just a nap, but real rest for our souls. So we're going to look at what Jesus says about that. And depending where you land with him, you may not buy it yet. That's okay. I know for some of us today, we're trying to figure out what we believe about God and faith and all of that. But here's the setting. Jesus has been traveling from place to place, doing miracles and teaching with authority and compassion. And a lot of people who see the things that Jesus does, unexplainable things outside of the power of God, and they hear his teaching, they respond and they begin to follow him. They put their faith in him. Their lives begin to change. But there were some other places that Jesus went where almost everybody in that city rejected him. And he one day is describing this to his disciples, his closest friends, and he's talking about how bad it will be for those people who have rejected him, how bad their lives will end up because they've missed out on the hope that he offers, which is kind of intense, and I get that. But he's describing all of this, and all of a sudden he stops and he prays. And this is what he prays. Oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. How many of us have kids? Just another kind of show of hands. It's interesting. Some of the same hands from people who said they were tired. I don't know if there's a connection there, but how many of us know kids can be so immature? Am I right? How many of us have parents that can be so immature, though? That's a whole other phenomenon, yeah. And I know sometimes we can all be immature, and I think that can be, you know, unhealthy, unhelpful at times. But I actually think that we often have the other problem, where we try to present ourselves as if we're more mature than we really are. We try to act like we have it all together, like we have all the answers. We feel this pressure to fit in with the people around us, and we try to come off as if we We have life under control. A few years ago, someone I really respect surprised me by telling me that their greatest fear in life was that they don't deserve a spot at the big kids' table. A lot of us can relate to that. Because I think we all sometimes feel like a little kid on the inside. We try to act like we've got it all together on the outside, but inside we're thinking, man, I'm not as smart as the people around me. I'm not as successful as the people around me. I don't have my act together the way they do. And it's a pressure we feel, which makes Jesus' prayer so encouraging, because what he's saying is that God actually views being childlike when it comes to a relationship with him as an advantage. God hides who he really is from people who act all super spiritual and deep and like they know all the answers, have everything figured out, never made a mistake. And it reveals himself to people who admit that they don't have all the answers. They don't have everything figured out. It seems like the connection is that the people who rejected Jesus in those cities he went to, they thought they were too important for him. They thought their lives were already fine. They acted like they had it all together. They were too wise and clever to need Jesus, and they missed out. It was a tragic error in judgment, and here's why. Because the next thing Jesus says is, my Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son, which is Jesus' way of describing himself. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus is making an astounding statement here. And again, some of us might not be sure we're into this. Like, this is kind of like a line in the sand. Jesus is saying, everything has been entrusted to me. And that's a strong statement, but he doesn't shy away from it. He doesn't beat around the bush. He's very clear about it, and he says two things. One, no one knows me like God knows me. He's speaking in his humanity. He says, no one knows me like God knows me, which we can all relate to, because whether we realize it or not, no one knows us like God knows us. No one gets us like God gets us. Put it this way, we can fool everybody else, including ourselves. We can't ever fool God. He knows what's really going on inside of us. So Jesus is saying that. We can all relate to that. But the second thing he says is no one knows God the way that he does. And that's a whole different thing. I can't make that claim. What Jesus is saying here is that the only way to know God is by knowing Jesus. And the reason it's such a tragic thing that all these people had rejected him when he showed up offering them hope and life is because that was their only way to really know the God who created them. And from there, Jesus talks about where we can find what we desperately need, rest. Come to me, he says, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. About 8 years ago, I got tired. And not just for a day or two, I went through a year and a half of my life when the best way to describe myself on any given day was tired. I'm a pastor, and if anybody should have their stuff together, it's pastors, am I right? We should have our stuff together, but I didn't. I was weary, and I woke up every day tired. I went to bed every night tired, not just physically tired, but just tired deep inside. I was carrying heavy burdens, family stuff, work stuff, what I eventually realized was a whole lot of me stuff. And you know, the longer I was tired, the more I refused to admit how tired I was. And I was stubborn. I started holding God at arm's length, just in little ways, like because I was so tired. And I started holding people around me who loved me and wanted what was best for me at arm's length. I was just so tired. And it wasn't until I finally admitted, man, I am really tired on the inside and I don't know how to fix it. And something just changing in my circumstances isn't going to fix it. It wasn't until that point that I was able to hear Jesus' invitation and start coming back to him. And I began to find rest, ironically, in the same places I've been preaching to other people about where to find it. But I had to admit how tired I was. I want you to notice who Jesus is offering rest to. He's offering rest to people who are willing to admit how tired we actually are, how tired we are of the way our lives are going or not going. And I want you to notice that you don't have to be holy. You just have to be weary to receive Jesus' invitation. You don't have to get your act figured out before you come to Jesus. In fact, If that's our plan, we'll never get our act figured out. Jesus says, come to me if you're weary and carrying heavy burdens. We just got to be willing to bring those heavy burdens to Jesus. The pain we're feeling, the addiction we're battling, the emptiness we can't escape, the regret that's eating us alive, to just bring it to Jesus. And Jesus isn't saying, listen, if you come to me, then your whole life will turn into Easter flowers and cake. What he's saying is, if you're willing to come to me, then you'll get your life back. Your life will begin to make sense again. I can give you what your soul desperately craves. Your circumstances may or may not change on the outside, but I can change what's going on the inside of you. Come to me, Jesus says, and discover that your worst day with Jesus is better than your best day without Jesus. That's what he's saying. And he says, if you come to me, you will find rest. But I think for some of us, we hear that and we go, okay, what does that even mean to come to Jesus? What does that look like? And he explains it. He says this, take my yoke upon you. So this is a yoke. And our facilities team built this for me. This would have been a very familiar tool in Jesus' time when he was saying these words. Everybody would have understood immediately. They knew what a yoke was. A yoke was a tool where you take one farm animal and they put their head through one side of the yoke, and the other farm animal puts their head through the other side of the yoke. I'm not going to put my head through either side of the yoke because that's not how I want Easter to end for me. I'm just saying, I feel like it could go badly. But you'll just have to imagine. And together, when these two farm animals were yoked together, when they were connected together, they could accomplish far more than either could on their own. They could plow a large field in a surprisingly short amount of time. They could pull something heavy out of the ditch because they were yoked together. They were connected together. Jesus says, I have a yoke, and I'm inviting you to take one side of it upon you, and I will take the other side upon me. Let's do life together. And you'll discover that you can accomplish far more than you ever could on your own. So take my yoke upon you. In another place, he says it this way, if any of you wants to be my follower, so if you want what I'm offering, it looks like this, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Now, Jesus took up a cross, right? That's what we remember this weekend. It's what followers of Jesus live with the reality of every day, that Jesus carried a cross up a hill and he was crucified on it. And on that cross, he paid for the forgiveness of our sins. That was Jesus' cross. That was his side of the yoke. I can't carry that cross. I can't pay for the forgiveness of my sins, much less yours. I can't handle that. That's too heavy for me. I could never do it in a million years. But Jesus could. So he put that side of the yoke upon himself. He said, I will carry your sins. I will carry everything that you've ever thought, said, or done that you know is less than God's best for you and less than your best for God. I'll solve that problem. You don't have to carry that. I'll forgive you completely. You can live every day of your life knowing that you have a right relationship with God. I'll carry that. And then he says, but I want you to take up your cross. I want you to take the other side of the yoke, which means that if you want to follow me every day, you look at what I did and you live your life through the lens of what I did for you. That's what he's saying. And I think that's why more people don't want to follow Jesus. Here's what I mean. I think all of us want what Jesus is offering. I don't think you have to be a Christian to want what Jesus is offering. Atheist, agnostic, any other faith background, where we come from in life, when Jesus says, I'll give you rest, all of us are like, yes, please. I will take greater emotional equilibrium in my life, for sure. Increased mental health, a sense that my life is going to be okay in the end. I'll take purpose and meaning in my relationships. I'm not just an amoeba floating around in the world, that I have a purpose. I will take that in a hurry. I will take rest. And then Jesus says, okay, take my yoke upon you. And we go, Nobody said anything about a yoke. Jesus is like, I did. It literally, that was the next words out of my mouth. And we're a little bit hesitant about it. And here's why. Because all of us, and I've been there, we make a faulty assumption. We think we aren't currently carrying a yoke. And that Jesus is saying, come to me and I'll put something on you. You don't have anything on you right now, but I'll put something on you. And we say, no, I would rather be independent. I don't want anything on me. We're making a faulty assumption. What we don't realize is that we are already carrying a yoke. That's why we're so tired on the inside. We're trying to pay for our own stuff. We're trying to take care of our own lives. We're trying to control our own futures, and it's too heavy, and we're trying to carry it on our own. It's wearing us out. Jesus is saying, you're not yokeless, and I'll give you a yoke. He's saying, you're carrying something you were never designed to carry. Come to me. I'll give you something that you can carry by the power that I'll give you to carry it. And so we try to do life on our own, or for some of us, we find somebody in this world and we go, okay, you can help me carry my life. You complete me, until they don't. Never realizing that there's only one who belongs closely connected to our soul, and that's Jesus. And when we come to him and surrender to his way, we'll discover that our worst day with Jesus is better than our best day without Jesus. So Jesus continues, and he says this, let me teach you. I want to show you how this works. And I can do it because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I went to New York recently to see a friend, and I rode the train. I'd never done that before, and I was pretty excited about it. I know that's nerdy, but I was like, I've never rode the train in New York. It's a big deal in my life. And because it only cost a little bit more, when I bought my ticket, there was something kind of going on. You could pay a few dollars more and upgrade to business class. And I thought, first time on the train, business class. Let's do this thing. And so I got on the train, and the conductor said, coach to the left, business to the right. I was like, and I walked through the cafe car. There's a cafe car on the train. Walked through the quiet car. Don't know if you knew there was a quiet car on the train. I was very quiet. Walked through the quiet car, got to the next car, and I looked at the app because I downloaded the app because, you know, I'm that guy, and saw my seat, and there was someone sitting in my seat. I know. And so very politely, diplomatically, I said, excuse me, I'm so sorry. I think you are sitting in my seat. And they said, oh, I didn't know they assigned seats in coach. And I said, oh, this is not coach. This is business class. And they said, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll move. I'll find another seat. I was like, no problems, no worries at all. And so I settled into my business class seat. And I was like, what do business class people do? I was trying to figure it out. Like, I wanted to look very business class. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I was like, I'm in a business class. And so I was, you know, got very absorbed in something on my MacBook. I'm like, oh, I'm doing some business. And yeah, everything was going fine until about 30 minutes later when somebody came through the train to check tickets. And they looked at my ticket and said, sir, you have a business class ticket, and you are sitting in coach, amateur. I didn't say the last part, but I heard it in my head. In my head, I was like, I heard it. And they said, and I was like, I thought the conductor said, and they said, oh, no, still some coach on this side of the train. You needed to keep going a couple more cars. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many of us have settled for a seat on this train, not realizing that Jesus paid for an upgrade and that there's more to this life. And if we would just keep going with Jesus, if we would just be willing to take a few more steps with Jesus, we would discover that he has so much more for us. And I love what Jesus says. Listen, I'm not going to judge you for where you settled. I'm kind and gentle and humble. I'm not going to get all upset with you about your bad decisions and your choices in life and everything that you've done wrong. We're going to call it what it is, but I'm not going to get upset with you about that. I just need you to know that you settled in the wrong seat. And if you're willing to follow me, I can upgrade your life. Now, I want to be very clear. There's not much difference between coach and business class on that train. I discovered that day. But there's a big difference with Jesus. We're talking about your life here. It matters if you settle. And that's what Jesus started this whole thing off by saying. There's some people are settling. They've seen me for who I am and rejected me, and I don't get it. I was just trying to tell them, you're in the wrong seat. God has more for you. And if we'll lean in and follow Jesus, we'll discover that our worst day with Jesus is better than our best day without Jesus. Listen, I have had some bad days with Jesus. I really have. Some pastors don't talk about that. It's like, oh, you follow Jesus, everything will be okay. Everything has not been okay. I've had some bad days with Jesus. But I've never had a day with Jesus that was anything like the emptiness I experienced in the coach life spiritually. Every day with Jesus. I've had some bad days with Jesus, but since I met Jesus, I've never had to carry a single one of them on my own. Makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. And that's what this church is all about. We're just a bunch of people who are finding Jesus and learning to follow him fully. It's why we gather like this, not just at Easter, but week after week, we experience God here. Jesus teaches us here. Week after week, we come and we gather like this and we're reminded, don't settle for the coach life spiritually. God has more for you. He wants to show you more and teach you more and lead you into more. And when I say more, by the way, I'm not talking about the more the world talks about, all on the outside, superficial success. Whether or not he has that for us, he has the kind of success that matters, which is where our souls are settled. Our relationships are experiencing his grace. And that's why we gather like this, why we connect in groups. We're strengthened by other people who are letting Jesus teach them how to really live this life. That's why we serve. That's what our J team is all about, because our lives finally begin to make sense the day we realize that they were a gift given to us to be given away to make a difference for someone else. That's our part of the yoke. We're a bunch of people who realize, oh, you mean I don't have to pay for my own sins? Jesus did? I will gladly carry what he calls me to carry because I know what he did for me. And here's the best part. Jesus says this. For my yoke is easy to bear. It's not like that one you've been carrying. And the burden I give you is light. It's light. A few years ago, I climbed a mountain. And I like to bring it up. Because it makes me feel athletic, which I'm not. And sometimes people are like, well, how many mountains did you climb? It's not the point of the story. Why would you climb more than one when one is enough to be able to say, I climbed a mountain? And when I showed up for this climb, I was climbing with some friends, one of whom is an expert mountain climber, legitimate expert mountain climber, has summited many peaks. And I was given a backpack to carry with supplies. And at first, I thought it was heavy. But then someone pointed out to me that my friend, who was the leader of our group, was carrying twice as much as I was, including the tent I was going to sleep in that night. And all of a sudden, can I just tell you, my backpack felt a lot lighter. I was like, oh, you're willing to carry that? I got no problem carrying this. Some of us hear what Jesus has to say about his burden being light and his yoke easy to bear, and we think, oh, no, I know enough about Christianity and faith to know. It's not light, man, it's heavy stuff. It is heavy until you realize what he carried. And you realize that you don't have to carry it because he carried it. So all that angst we feel about making sense of our lives, Jesus carried that for us. Some of us think faith is heavy because we don't realize that Jesus has already promised to carry the stuff that really wears our souls out. And if what's on you right now is heavy, it might be because it's not yours to carry, it's his. All that worry and anxiety and comparison and resentment, insecurity and regret and shame that we lug around day after day, pretend, and some of us are experts at pretending it's not that heavy. It's not that big a deal. We're weighed down by it, but we act like it's no big deal. And Jesus says, come to me, and you'll realize that that's exactly what I paid for on the cross. I paid for that. I'll carry that up the mountain for you. You don't have to carry that on your own. And when we let Jesus carry the heavy parts and we take our part upon us by faith, we find that our worst day with Jesus is better than our best day without Jesus. Jesus never promised that this life would be easy. He simply said that his yoke is easy to bear. He never said that life would not hand us heavy things. He simply said that the burden he gives us is light. So all those years ago, when I got burned out on the inside, I finally realized I'm tired. But it's the kind of tired, some of you can relate to this, it's the kind of tired that a vacation won't fix. Or you get back from the vacation and you need a vacation from the vacation. It's the kind of tired a nap won't take care of, a day off won't help. I'm tired on the inside. My soul is weary. And you know the problem? The problem is we do dumb stuff when we're tired. We all do. We believe dumb things about God, about ourselves, about the people around us. You're much more likely to believe something that isn't true when you're tired. We react in dumb ways. Irritable, anxious, because we're tired. And we turn to dumb tools to medicate our pain when we're tired. We all do this. And that's where I found myself, just tired. And God knows this about us. He actually has a word to describe all the dumb stuff we do when we're tired. You've heard the word before. It might even rub you the wrong way, but it's God's word. He calls it sin. And whatever you've thought sin was, let me give you a new definition. Sin is all the dumb stuff we think and say and do, listen to me, because we're so tired on the inside. And we're desperately trying to fix it on our own, and we can't. That's the bad news. There's even a verse in the Bible that says, for all of us have done dumb stuff when we were tired and fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news is, Jesus died to forgive those sins. He paid the price. He was the only one who could do it. He died as a sacrifice in our place. And then he walked out of the tomb 3 days later because sin and death, which were too heavy for us to carry, could not hold him down. He rose again, and he's real, and he's alive, and he's speaking. You say, what is he saying? He thought you'd never ask. Come to me. Well, who? All the religious people who have it all together? No. All of you who are weary, carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. You can stop ignoring your real need. You can stop pretending you have it all together. You can stop frantically trying to check all the boxes in this life. You can admit that you're anxious and tired and broken on the inside. You can come to Jesus. And when you do, you'll discover that your worst day with Jesus will be better than your best day without him. And this Easter, if you would say, I believe in Jesus, he is Lord of my life, but I have gotten tired and I need the rest he promised. I wonder, in every room, all of our locations, would you just lift your hand? If that's you, just hold it up high, all over the room, yeah. I believe in Jesus. He's Lord of my life, but I need rest. And then would you open your heart up to God with me? Let me pray it over you, the rest of God. Jesus, we honor you today. When we think about what you carried up that mountain for us, our souls are amazed again. You carried our regrets, you carried our shame, you carried our sin, you carried it all for us. And God, we need the promise of Jesus right now. If this is real for you, make it personal. Tell him, Jesus, I know I do dumb stuff when I'm tired. I need your forgiveness and your strength. Give me rest today. And then while you allow God to speak to your heart for a moment more, if you're in the room today, one of our locations, or watching online, and you don't have a real relationship with God yet, maybe you're not ready to believe anything about Jesus, and that's okay. I'm not here to twist your arm. I would just encourage you to come back. I just think you owe it to yourself to see if there might be something to this, and you can't know until you give it a few weeks. But for some of you today, God's drawing you to Him, and over the past few minutes, you've had a thought. Jesus, when you gave that invitation, did you mean me? And the answer is, yeah, He absolutely did. Come to Him, all of you who are weary, carrying heavy burdens. And if you want to begin a real relationship with God through faith in Jesus, if you hear Him say, take my yoke upon you, and you say, yes, it's better than what I'm carrying now. I want to follow Jesus. I'd love to lead you in a very simple prayer to take that step. So I want everyone to join me again. Open your heart up to God. And if that's you today, right where you are, whisper out a prayer of faith, something like this. Jesus, today I surrender my life to you. I believe you died for me and that you rose again and that through you, I can have the power to live a new kind of life. Save me today. I'm yours. And if that's you, well, everyone around you stays focused on God. If you would say, I want to be included in that prayer today, I'm putting my faith in Jesus. Would you lift your hand? Just hold it up high in every room right now. Just hold it up high. Yeah, I'm putting my faith in Jesus today. Yes, trusting Him with my life. Yeah. Online, you can type the word faith in the comments. I'll celebrate that with you. And make sure before you leave in a few minutes, you let us know on a Connect card if you took that step. We want to send you some ways you can grow in your faith. But we're going to worship together again before we wrap up. So I want you to stay right in the room. And we're going to wrap up our Easter gathering, celebrating Jesus. But right before we do, next weekend, we're starting a brand new series here called Breathe. It's all about anxiety. Our team's been working on this for months. So many of us struggle with anxiety. And this series is about what it could look like for us to finally experience peace. I really want you to come back. And I wanted to give you a sneak peek. Check it out.
It made me feel like God was not there. And that, you know, did He actually care about me, you know?
Before it was like, does God even, if I even come to Him about these things, like, is He gonna look at me differently? Is He even gonna like accept me?
It's not what God wants for us, but we're human. We're gonna experience it, right?
My faith that has been the only thing that has gotten me through it.
Jesus had these same feelings, and I think that's something that people with anxiety often neglect.
All this worrying is just, at the end of the day, showing me, okay, this is where I trust God the least. Like,
now is not forever, so realize that God has a plan, and whatever you're going through right now isn't gonna last forever, and there's peace in knowing that your life is already meticulously crafted by the creator of the universe.